Welcome to the Lifehouse Message Podcast. Please make sure to follow or subscribe to this so that you can get all the latest messages. We hope that you are inspired, empowered, and encouraged by the message today. Let's enjoy.
Hello everyone, how are you? Welcome to the message today. We're doing a series on the community of the church. I love the church. I've always loved it since I became a believer at the age of 19. I'll tell you one thing, there's one of the things that really attracted me to the church was how in a lot of movies, a lot of themes, it's the little guys that got a great relationship win the day. Like Star Wars, I remember in 1977, yes, I was a 17-year-old at that time. The concept of all those little guys, Luke Skywalker and Leia and Han Solo and Chewbacca, took on the whole, you know, the bad guys, and because of their love and community, they won the day. And I think this is a great theme that we read about in church history, because it's not always to the strong, but it is always to the unshakable that God gives the victory. So as a young man at 19, I first started to read the Bible, and I was not yet a believer, and I was reading about Jesus and the community and the words of Jesus and the response, and I became a believer in Jesus and his community. Today I want to talk about the word unshakable, the amazing story of the community of the church. We're going to do a little bit of history, a little bit of what happened through the world and the gospel going through the world and where we are today. So I'm going to talk about what happened at the start. I'm going to talk about what's happening right now. And I'm going to be, it's really exciting. I want to talk about the prophetic word about what will happen in the future. Are you ready for a little adventure in the scriptures and in some church history? It's going to be good. I really believe you're going to get a lot out of this. Now, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not be able to overcome it. It's going to be unshakable. Jesus gave this promise in Matthew 16 verse 18. He said to Peter, you're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Well, Jesus went to the cross, died, rose again after 3 days, and the book of Acts comes into play. And here we read the beginning of the church. Now in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, Jesus said to the disciples, 120 of them, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's like dropping a little pebble in the pond, and the ripples go out from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the world. And Jesus was in his resurrection days on the earth when he said this, you're going to receive it soon. And then Jesus was ascended, not resurrected. He was already resurrected. He ascended into heaven and they saw him. Whoa, he's going up in the clouds. And the angel said, he's coming to come back in the same way. And Jesus said, just wait in Jerusalem till you get this power. Now we're going to read from Acts chapter 2. And this is our primary scripture for the first day of the community of the church. The first day of the unshakable, the Jesus, I will build my church, the wait for the power. Here we are in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to read what happens. It says in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all, who's they? The 120, including the disciples and Mother Mary and a bunch of the women following, the 120, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. And all of them, listen to this, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So this is the day of Pentecost. Now the disciples already had the Holy Spirit because Jesus had already said to them, receive the Holy Spirit at the end of the Gospel of John. And so these people are waiting for the power of the Spirit, and all of a sudden this extraordinary experience that probably will never be, maybe never happen again. It was like a once only, the beginning of the church. It is an incredible moment in church history, and out of this one explosive moment in the Holy Spirit, the gospel goes to 3,000 people. It's a great day. I would love to have that day today. Here it is. And let me say that as they received the Holy Spirit, or that as they were filled with the Spirit, they had the Spirit within them, and now the Spirit came upon them. Romans 8:9 says this, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed The Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. No. So this speaking in tongues has got nothing to do with salvation. They already had the Holy Spirit in them. It was the Holy Spirit upon them, and then people listening and getting saved. So we need to understand this clearly, that the first thing I want to say is that the Holy Spirit is in every believer, whether what denomination we are or background we have. If the Holy Spirit's in you, as it says, you belong to Christ. Well, this experience now was another experience that just blew the day apart. And the second thing I want to say is that all of a sudden they started to speak in tongues, but it was in a known language. It was in a known language. And there's 15 people groups. I'm not going to go through them all. There's 15 people groups saying, we hear them speaking in tongues. They're speaking in my language and they're praising God. So the tongues language was about praise, praising God. And so the question I want to say is, who was the call for on the day of Pentecost, the day of the start of the church community? The call was to all people to come and worship. And I thought about our churches here in Asia, and if it was 15 language groups that were hearing, it'd be like people hearing it in Japanese, English, Tagalog, Cebuano, Chinese, Indonesian, Korean, Spanish, Portuguese, French, German, Vietnamese, Hindi, Myanmar, Cambodian. That's 15 languages. It'd be like in our church, people all over the church saying, we can hear God. God is speaking in our language, and it's praise. It's high praise to God. So who could be part of this on this day? All of those language groups like today, all of the language groups. And secondly, the second call out was to people of all types. In Acts 2:17, Peter calls out, it's the same as the prophet Joel. God says, in the last days, I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men and will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And he goes on to say, you're free and you're slave and you're, everyone is called out. This day of Pentecost was not an exclusive club. It was a call out. The 120 were calling out in the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what they were doing, but God was using them to speak out. And the 15 language groups are saying, we hear them, we hear it, we hear it. It's inclusive. And then all types of people, we hear it. We're involved in the beginning day of the church. Pretty exciting, hey? Who can be saved? In this first day of the church, the message went out. Well, who can be saved? Who can have forgiveness from Jesus, resurrected Jesus? And the people called out, what shall we do? We're going to read here from chapter 37, Acts 2:37. And when the people heard this, which people? There was thousands there. They were cut to the heart, which means they were actually convicted. God spoke to them in their heart. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What do we do? We're hearing the praise in our language. We know it's for all people. What do we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So here it is. Who's hearing? Everyone, all language groups, young and old, free and slave, everyone hearing. What shall we do? Repent and believe, all who may hear. And this is the first day. It's a pretty good day in the life of the church. And so what did they do on the first day? They began a community. They served the Lord with joy. And so we come to the end of the first day. This is all one day. The end of the first day, verse 42, Acts 2:42. And they, who's they? The 3,000 that just got saved. 3,000, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's to the Old Testament part of the Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching about the Old Testament and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, that's communion, and to prayer. Well, that's what we do in the community of the church today. So this first day of the church sets out, what do we do? What does the community do? This unshakable force that God has put into play, what do? Well, the teaching of the word, fellowship, which means being in community, breaking of bread, communion, and praying to God. Verse 46, and every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, and they broke bread in the homes. So here was the meetings in the big meeting place and the homes. Where do you meet for community? The big meeting place and the homes. And they were all together with glad and sincere hearts. What's the unshakable community? Joy, thanksgiving, open hearts, honesty, and sharing. This is the beautiful community that I fell in love with at the age of 19 when I became a believer and I saw an imperfect church, but an unshakable community. And the last thing it says is, the Lord added to their number daily those who are being saved. So there was a stickiness of others hearing, I can come, can I hear, is this for me? And yes, and the formation of the church on the first day. That's what it was like for them. This is the book of Acts. You can read it all for yourself. It goes right through to many other countries as well. Well, what's happened since then? Number two, the unshakable community. What's happening now? What happened in church history up till now? Well, the gospel went from Jerusalem, Judea, to Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world in their day. It went to Israel, went to Egypt, to North Africa, Ethiopia, Syria, Middle East. A country called Armenia became the first Christian country in the history. The Greek world, it went to Greece and all those countries that spoke Greek, to the Roman world that spoke Latin, and the emperors of Rome. After many years, Constantine became a believer in 325, somewhere around there. We don't know the full history. The gospel then went east to Persia and Pakistan and in India. That's where the Apostle Thomas took the gospel to those countries. Isn't that amazing? He took the gospel to those countries. And then finally it went to Europe and Greece and Italy and France and Spain and England and Germany and Scandinavia and through that part of the world by very early on. And later in the year about 600, the gospel came across to China. Believe it or not, a group called the Nestorian Christians brought the gospel to the city called Xi'an in the middle of China. There's still a church building that's today, can you believe it, from about the year 600. And here is something for our Japanese friends. Maybe, just maybe, something of the gospel came to Japan, because the Japanese writing system is connected to the Chinese writing system, which has a lot of gospel in it. That's for another day. But it's really exciting to think maybe the gospel came as far across Asia. Then the gospel went through South America, the Americas, Australia, New Zealand, obviously USA, Southern Africa. The gospel went right round, and all of a sudden, it's now Asia's turn. Come on, give God a big praise. I remember going to the Philippines 40 years ago. Can't believe it. 40 years ago, I went there. And at that time, there were very few people who were interested in reading the Bible. Yes, it's a Catholic country, but at that time, it wasn't that open to hearing about personal faith. So I saw that. I saw miracles after miracles. And today, the Philippines is not just a mission receiving country. It's a mission sending country. It's one of the most exciting stories in the unshakable church. It's an incredible, unshakable story of the gospel's come to Asia and in Indonesia as well, and many parts, and now Singapore, Malaysia, and India, and the gospel is spreading, and it's really exciting. And now maybe it is Japan's turn. You know, 500 years ago, Japan was open to the gospel, but it was absolutely extinguished by the Tokugawa shogunate, the bunch of emperors in a row that extinguished the church. But we've got someone in our pastoral team, Pastor Noboru, is a historian. And he said when Japan finally reopened in 1850, somewhere around there, all of a sudden all these hidden Catholic believers came out with their communion and there was elements of faith still in the country of Japan. And after World War II, there was another explosion of church growth, and now, today. I don't want to tell you these scriptures. It's amazing. Two scriptures about Japan, I'm sure. Psalm 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun, that's Japan, to the place where it sets, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Prophetic word over Japan. Yay, come on. And over Korea and Hong Kong and China and all these wonderful countries, Taiwan and Indonesia, Thailand, etc. God is moving in the east. It's time for the rising of the sun. One more, Isaiah 59:19. From the west, people will fear the name of the Lord. That's happened. And from the rising of the sun, they will revere or honor his glory. For he will come in like a pent-up flood, like a held-up flood. It's going to come through like we call it the tsunami wave, a, a wave of God is going to come out like a tsunami wave that the breath of the Lord drives along. I believe there is a prophetic word over our part of the world. I believe it. That's why we're here in Japan or Korea, or Hong Kong, Taiwan, Thailand, Indonesia. God is moving. God is moving. So the day of Pentecost, it was an explosive start. But since that time, the unshakable community of the church has grown all over the world. Now, using the word unshakable, I'm not using it in terms of a church building. You need to understand this. The concept of church in the Bible never means a church building. And that might shock some people, but see, the community is not the building. The community is the people in the building or not in the building. And all over Asia, there are different forms of church. In China, a really good friend of mine, I met again recently, and he said all our churches are underground in homes and we're hiding. I met another man recently from Iran, wonderful, wonderful believer. And he said that everyone's meeting in homes and God's moving in homes right through Iran. And so the church is not a building. The church is the community of the saints with the word of God and communion and prayer and love and forgiveness. And the unshakable church is not a building. Churches can be destroyed, but the people of God go on. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? And so let me talk about the future. So we've come about the day, the first day of the church and the church history and where we're at today. But there's some prophecy in the Bible that talks about the end times. You see, the end times is not just all about destruction and doom. The end times are all about a fulfillment of Jesus' words that the gospel will go to the ends of the world. Look at Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Has this happened? Not yet. You see, 42% of the world have never heard the name Jesus Christ. 42%, 3.5 billion people, including the entire country of Japan. Very few have heard of Jesus. That's why we're here. And so we're in a moment where the not yet, the prophetic is speaking to us and calling to us and saying, one day Japan will be open. One day these other nations will be open. It's coming. It's coming in one generation. See, my generation, I'm getting older now, my generation is now here to coach and cheer on another generation and another generation to say, maybe it's your generation is going to see this fulfillment, this 42% that I've never heard become 40%, 30%, 30%, 20%, and it become a less number as the gospel, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord covers the whole world. It hasn't happened yet. But it's going to happen because God says in His Word. And Revelation, it also speaks about the future prophetic word. It says in Revelation 5:9, it's talking about a future time. It says they sang a new song saying, praising Jesus, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. It's coming. It's coming. We need to stay in the understanding of the unshakable community is just going to keep increasing, even through persecution, even through trouble, and whatever happens, the kingdom of God keeps increasing. Revelation 7:9, it's from every tribe and every language and every people and every nation. Two times, future, prophetic future spoken now. The knowledge of the Lord is going to the whole world. Do I believe it? Absolutely. Absolutely, this unshakable community is going to continue. So as I close, I just want to say to you, how do we live? If this is true, if we're living in a prophetic, dramatic, amazing moment in history, and we are, how do we then live? Well, here's a final scripture that sort of ties this whole thing together for me, and I hope for you too. In Hebrews 12:28, it's been saying that everything's going to be shaking in the last days. There's going to be shaking, the politics, the economy. There's going to be a shaking in the world, all right? It's going to happen. And then it says this in verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Friends, I want to tell you that the shaking in the world, God is still in control and God will fulfill His word. He says He will watch over His word. It actually says, where is it here? It's in, I haven't used this scripture, Isaiah 55:11. God says, my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I please. The word of the Lord, God's word is true. The unbreakable word and the unshakable kingdom is together. And God is going to move into this planet again and again until the knowledge hits the whole world. So let me come back to that scripture. Here we go. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, what do? Let's be thankful. Yay! Thank you, Jesus. And so worship God acceptably with reverence or honor and awe. Amazing God. You've kept your word. You've kept the Bible that we have. You've kept your community across the earth. And even under great persecution through history and ups and downs and forwards and backwards, it's an unshakable. It's here right now, and we are moving into another prophetic moment. Friends, the end times is not all doom and gloom. The end times is full of revivals, salvations, healings, maybe your family. Maybe they're going to be some of them. Probably will be. I believe it. The nations you are in, we've got to have an understanding that the church is beautiful. The church is not perfect, but it is God's bride. It is God's body. It is God's house. And we're a part of it. And it says, what do? We are thankful. That's why we don't speak badly about the church. That's why we love the church. That's why we pray for the church. And our hearts are full of thanks as we understand the incredible destiny, future that God has for us. And so I'm going to pray right now that you will have an understanding of where we are right now and your part that you will play in this next season or era of church history. You ready? You're going to pray. Lord, I want to thank you, Jesus, that you said you will build your church. The gates of hell will not prevail. It's an unshakable kingdom, and we are thankful. I pray you'd speak to us about vision, about thankfulness, about loving you and loving your people, about loving and forgiving and being together and taking communion and prayer and worship and togetherness in the mission to reach people who have never heard about Jesus. I pray, Lord, we'd be full of thankfulness and awe and honor for you and your church. And I believe that will lead us to great mental health and heart health and life health as we partner with you in your unshakable community. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, praise the Lord. Maybe you'd like to be part of this community. Well, just like on the day of Pentecost, it says, what do? Well, believe. If you will believe in Jesus' death and resurrection, and his blood will forgive you and give you a new life, you will be saved. That's what it said. That's exactly what Peter said. So I'm going to count to three. I'm going to pray for anyone who says, I will believe, or I will come back to believe if you've been away. You ready? I'm going to count to three. Here we go. One, two, three. Right now, Lord, I pray anyone believing or coming back to belief, you would touch them, you would forgive them, you'd come into their life with great hope and purpose and blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a big praise. Well, we're doing a great series on the community, the unshakable community. What's next week? Stay in touch. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening today. We hope that God was able to speak to you through the message. If you consider Lifehouse your church home, or if you were blessed by these messages, then why not consider generously supporting us? Simply go to mylifehouse.com/give and find the giving way that works best for you. Have a blessed day, and we'll catch you all next time.